This is the save point. Awesome.
That was amazing.
Thanks. I appreciate it. What's up, everybody? This is episode 52. Wow. Of the save point. I'm one of your hosts, Mondo, aka Chunkleta Mangu. I'm joined, per usual, as always, by my lovely co-host, Alyssa Rosa. What's up, Alyssa? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And that's mostly because we're not by ourselves today. And we've got a very special guest with us. We've been talking about this for too long. We've been rating it. And every time we rate him, it's usually after a podcast too sometimes. It's like, yo, we're going to get you on the podcast, Matt. 100%. And today we got him. We've joined today by the selfless streamer himself. Always giving back. And I love that shit. We got Matthew or Matt. I mean, it's up to you.
Or Matt the Wormat.
Oh, Matt the Wormat. I like that. What's up, Matt? How are you today? Thanks for joining us. I'm doing fantastic
because I am also not alone.
Awesome. There you go. I like that. Virtual hugs all around.
Yes.
All around.
But yeah, guys, we're gonna talk about Matt and what he does with selfless streaming. We're gonna talk about Spider-Man, Xbox, Game Awards, some other stuff. But yo, Matt, where do we begin?
Where do we begin?
Talk to us a little bit about how you got into streaming and if it started off with selfless streaming, and if not, how did that eventually become selfless streaming?
So actually starting with streaming was like 3.5-4 years ago, as in I knew a lot of streamers at the time, and I was like, yeah, I'll just give it a shot. This should be cool. It was all right. I wasn't a huge fan of being the streamer at the time. And then eventually got followbotted.
Okay.
For about 2 weeks straight and said, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. So stopped streaming at that point. About 2 years later, I wanted to start up streaming again. So this was at the height of quarantine. And I was really at a point where I wanted to find a way to give back. So I was really looking for some intrinsic value in something. And I've always been pretty goal driven and wanted to give back and find a way to give back. And I was inspired by GDQ. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Games Done Quick.
Oh, Games Done Quick. Yes. So amazing.
So it's like that week long event where it's just speed runners that support a charity. Yeah. So for an entire week, it's 24 hours a day, that whole week, nonstop, they just go and they raise like millions of dollars. Yeah. And I always felt like Twitch was such a not necessarily easy way to get involved, but it was a platform that didn't require you to leave the house, and quarantine was happening. So I felt like it was a pretty good match. And it also made it where I didn't feel bad playing video games. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't necessarily feeling like I was wasting time. It was more like I'm wasting time for a good cause. So it was a nice way. So we've been doing it since April 1st last year, and it's been going very well.
So is it every month that you do a different charity? Like, how does it work for you?
So previously I was doing it where every single month I chose a different charity. Now, as of literally this month, I'm a bit more selective. So I've narrowed it down to about 6 charities, of which we've already supported before. But before this month, it was every single month, chose a different cause. Usually it was very timely, like something was happening, whether it be COVID relief is what we literally started with. Or if it's Pride Month, something related to LGBTQ, whatever awareness month it might be at the time, and then supporting based off of that. Now I've kind of narrowed it down to where I'll be supporting some charities that I kind of fell in love with. I'll say a big part of it is the reps, as far as there are some charities that just have amazing reps. They'll reach out to you. They're very involved with gaming. They know everything about Twitch, and it just makes it so much easier to, one, want to be a part of it, but two, to get them involved so that the funding is more directly related to somebody that's with the charity as well, not just me telling the story.
Awesome. I'm so happy that we have you here because, as you know, and maybe a lot of people who are listening know, we're doing our very own helping out with charity with New York Common Pantry. So to have you on especially during this time of year, you know, you're told to give back, especially during the holidays. I mean, throughout the year, you should always do it. But it's always been, at least for me, to see when I watch your streams, like how inspiring it is that you continuously like go over the top and just keep doing it every single month. But I saw that recently you decided that, like, you know, you wanted to pull back due to mental health reasons, obviously. So without going into detail, how important is that to you as a content creator, first and foremost, and as a human?
I'll say you always see tweets about things like burnout for streamers. Mm-hmm. And as somebody that works a full-time job, so I'm working probably 50, 55 hours a week. And then on top of that, I was streaming 20, 25 hours a week as well. And there wasn't really much time outside of work and stream to worry about something like mental health. And then eventually just kind of you hit that wall. Like I'm very much a just push through it kind of person. And it got to the point where I couldn't push through it. So I would say definitely if you notice stuff, listen to it. So there were things that it got to the point where it was affecting outside of stream and outside of work. And it just kind of, it did get to that breaking point a little bit where you have to scale back. You have to, you know, focus on yourself a bit. So I've been doing that more recently. And I'll say that I definitely am fortunate in that streaming it's not my profession. I'm not looking to make money off of streaming. I make no money off streaming. It's literally all going towards the causes. So scaling back, it doesn't affect me in the way of, say, I'm now having to worry about rent. I'm now having to worry about bills getting paid this month. So I'm fortunate in that regard. But I will say it did take a little bit to scale back because I started thinking about things like, well, if I stream more, that means more for the charities and I'm helping more people. Mm-hmm. And you start getting in that mentality. But the reality is I kind of had to take the step back and focus on me, or it was going to get to a point where no one gets helped anymore because I'm just going to have to quit. So I'll say it's very important. It's something that I tried to put off, the mental health side of things, mm-hmm. and really just pushed it through it. But I think now having taken that step back, I see how beneficial it can be because it has helped me. I enjoy going live more now rather than, all right, it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, gotta go live. Doesn't matter how you feel, go for it. Mm-hmm. So I'll say definitely put your mental health first because especially from the content creation side, people can also tell when you're having a hard time. When you hit mm-hmm. that go live button and you don't want to, people can tell when you're not having a good day, when you're not feeling it, and they kind of feed off of that too. But on the other hand, they can also tell when you're focusing on your mental health and you're having a good day and you're happy and, you know, things are upbeat. So I'd say listen to it and don't be afraid to put yourself first.
Advice.
That's great advice.
Do you have another question, Mondo?
I kind of wanted to go into like origins of gaming and like just lightheartedly, like, okay, you know, like what got you into gaming, period? Because I mean, I'd be surprised how many people we meet that haven't been gaming all of their lives, you know, and just got into it at a later age in their life and, you know, fell in love with it. So where did gaming start with you?
I'll say my dad was slightly involved with gaming in that we had a system in my house. So growing up, we actually had the Atari, and this is like not Atari was new then. We just had an Atari. So it was very dated at the time, but we still had it and I thought it was cool. And then I got into handheld gaming before anything. So Game Boy was out. I was playing a lot of Mario on Game Boys. Game Boy Pocket came out, you know, then was playing Pokemon. As far as console gaming, the first system that I personally had was the Sega. Played a ton of Sonic, and then from there just fell in love with gaming in general. I've always gamed. I would hate to know how many hours I've put into gaming with my lifetime. I'm glad that stat does not exist.
Yeah. Right? That'd be scary.
It'd be a lot of hours.
I'm so glad.
They say 10,000 hours to mastery.
180,000 hours. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Do not divide that by 24.
Oh my goodness.
And what's been your, we were talking about it before the show, you said like your PC now, but was it always just handhelds, or were you like a PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo?
I was big into consoles before I got into PC gaming. So I was actually pretty loyal to Xbox for a while. Like, I was big into Halo. I was big into COD at one point. And then I don't know what happened. I fell off. I went through a massive JRPG phase. Oh. I don't know why. And then that kind of spiraled into more, say, open world type stuff. So your Fallouts, your Skyrims, still on console. Mm-hmm. But then I think it was like 2009 or something. I got a PC, and that was just like blew my mind. So I was playing World of Warcraft as well at that time, and just being involved with an MMO. And now I was really getting involved with playing with people. And then eventually that went into playing with people competitively. And once I started playing competitive games on PC, it was a wrap. Like, even now, I love the competitive games. I love being stressed out.
So are there any games that like you're excited for? Like maybe Elden Ring, or is there anything specific?
I will say excited for Elden Ring. I will also say tomorrow, Pokemon coming out. I actually didn't play Gen 4. Same. So I'm very excited to experience it for the first time. So I'll say those hold my interest. I'm very bad about keeping up with new games. Like really bad. Like I have no idea what's coming out. You could make up a name right now. I'd be like, yeah, that's I would have no idea. Yeah, that's cool. Wow, first person? Cool, yeah. I have no idea what's coming out. I get very into like two games at a time. Like really into two games at a time. So there was a few years ago, I was playing Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, CSGO, and that's all I played. I would put, 800, 900,000 hours a year into just Counter-Strike. And then now it's like my outside of stream game is Hearthstone. I play a ton of Hearthstone.
Nice.
I love Hearthstone. I'm like, I don't want to brag, but I'm like really good at Hearthstone.
Yeah, we got some.
But I would never play it on stream. I'm not trying to get backseated.
You said, backseated. Yeah, I hear that.
Oh my God, I could not take it. I would end stream so quick.
Yusuf
Hearthstone
know that.
Apex.
Yusuf loves him some Hearthstone. He loves the competition. He's supposedly nice too. Yeah. It's funny you say the competitive thing, because I forgot to mention earlier when I introduced you, you're still our reigning Apex champion, because we've not had another tournament.
We took the championship and y'all had to stop holding it.
Yeah. That's how bad it was.
Undefeated. Shout out Crystal Ma. Shout out Robert.
Shout out Crystal Ma. Yep.
Lost all participants. I'm sorry, I ruined y'all's tournament.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was great. But yeah, no, that actually explains a lot. CS:GO. That actually explains a lot.
That's
why he's so skilled and really good. Yeah.
CS:GO is still like the highest played game on Steam. Like it's a joke.
It's massive now. It hasn't died down. Mm-hmm. It's insane. I mean, I was like the nerd. I'm sitting there watching people's VODs. I'm sitting there lining up learning smokes and trying to learn angles and stuff. Practice mode, everything. Oh, y'all thought I was bad with Apex. Now CS:GO was like a million times worse. I was on a team. Oh my God. Ridiculous.
Have you played Valorant?
I tried. I tried. As much as people said it was like CS:GO, I just did not like it. It felt so slow.
Okay. All right. It's interesting. I'm not into either. It's too structured and like precise.
I feel like CS:GO would be hard to get into present day.
Yeah.
because people know so much already.
Yeah,
like, it's just people just are involved in a way that they know every angle, they know every corner, they know every timing. And coming in brand new with no experience, I feel like it would be pretty difficult.
That's interesting.
Do you no longer play COD at all? Like, you're not interested in it in comparison to Apex?
I haven't played it in forever. I know Warzone came out. I tried to play it a little bit, but the map was just so big that I could not get into it.
Oh, wow.
That's why I think Apex is the perfect game. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I feel like the movement's amazing. I feel like the map size is great. It feels really good when you win. Kills don't feel like they take forever, which is my issue with Halo. I think it's the gold standard.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that.
I couldn't agree more.
Boom.
Couldn't agree more.
You heard it here first, folks.
Just a really good combination.
VGA champion. I say that.
We definitely need to have another one.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So many Smash.
Yeah, we do.
I will say, little tidbit, I'm not good at Smash, but my favorite esport to watch for a decade now, Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am highly involved with it still. I follow the scene, know all the pros and everything in it. I'm very into it.
Well, it's not on the docket for today, but they just announced that, like, they've officially, like, partnered with Panda Global Nintendo to host the first ever, like, officially licensed
free Melee
Super Super Smash.
It's finally freed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow,
that's a huge deal. I think. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if they're willing to actually hold tournaments and stuff, that's a massive deal. So
yeah,
good for them. 20-some years later,
there's something to be said about Smash. It's something about, like, the comebacks, the plays. It's just. It's crazy, you know?
Oh, Melee is the most exciting esport there is. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I'm so bad at it, but I love it.
I'm bad at it too, don't worry.
Yeah, same. I'll leave that for the guys.
Yeah,
for the guys.
Yeah, they're bad about it, especially Brandon. He's really good.
Yeah, he takes talk shit and, like, you can have it. Don't even want it. You have any other questions, Alyssa, before we move on?
Before we went live, he shared with me, at least, that he is very in touch with, like, the people who run a lot of these charities, foundations and stuff. Mm-hmm. So how did you, like, get in contact? Is it just because you do the selfless streaming thing, or?
So literally just reaching out to people. A lot of the charities on Tiltify will have a contact us type of thing. Mm-hmm. And early on, I wanted a way for people to feel like they were a bit closer to the charities. And I feel like there's no better way to feel closer to the charity than to have somebody from the charity on. And I'll say, a lot of these organizations, they have reps that are familiar with Twitch, that are familiar with things like gaming, and they're already involved with talking to streamers on their stream. They've got their talking points, their selling points, everything. And I think it allows them to explain the organization or cause in a way that I would never be able to, not from just reading their webpage. They know the notes to hit already. So having them on, it allows them to, what I think is the most important part, explain where the money's going. So it never comes to me. It's always going directly through Tiltify. Mm-hmm. I'd highly recommend going that route too. So anybody that wants to get involved with charity streaming, do not do it through your own PayPal, just so you're aware. Because if you're taking PayPal donations, one, there's, like, the integrity factor. Does the money actually go, yada, yada, yada. But more so, if you're raising, like, thousands of dollars for charity and just piling it on and then you'll send it to the charity, that's great because the charity gets the money. But at the end of the year, you have to pay the taxes on it. So it's your income. It's coming directly to you. So as far as the government's concerned, you raised $20,000 and then you gave it to, you know, National Breast Cancer Foundation, whatever it may be. Well, they don't care where the money went. $20,000 came to you. You got to pay taxes on that. So I've heard of multiple people getting hit with that. And Tiltify is the way to go. Go with that. Never touches you. So back to your point, though, I think that having the reps on, it allows them to tell the story of where the money's going. So they can say that $40 is going towards, you know, allowing somebody to get screened for breast cancer. They can give you the details about how $100 is used directly, and it makes it more than just the donation. Now there's multiple months where, you know, we raised $1,000, we raised $2,000. Well, I can directly tell you that based off that amount, we helped 50 people and we helped them with this. So I think having those reps on takes it to the next level. And then I'll say they're usually very open to gaming too. So everyone I've had on, I then play some type of game with them usually, whether it be like Jackbox Trivia, or as I was mentioning before stream, we actually just played Fortnite with the CEO of the National Breast Cancer Foundation. So that was pretty cool too.
That's cool.
Oh, awesome. Matt's out here doing the best.
Doing the thing.
Work ever.
I spam the link to his Tiltify.
Yeah, I seen it.
He's raising money.
Raising money for Save the Children.
Yeah.
For a second time. So they're one of our charities that I just fell in love with. And they have a big initiative called Gaming Tuesday. So it's like Giving Tuesday every year. So we're going to support it every year that I'm streaming.
That's
a phenomenal organization. And I'll say that kind of to not necessarily weed out organizations, but I do take the integrity factor very seriously. I use what's called CharityNav, charitynav.org, to look up every organization that I'm supporting. And what that site does is it gives you a breakdown of their financials. It gives you a breakdown of their transparency. And so you have an idea of, let's say I donate $100 to this charity, how much of that is actually going towards the cause versus how much is going towards cause, admin fees, yada, yada, yada. It's very eye-opening to see some of the bigger charities where you donate $100, well, 70 of that's going to the cause, 30 is going to a bunch of other stuff you have no idea about. So that allows you to be able to more comfortably support the charity, I feel like.
Good to know.
Yeah. Damn, I think so. Dropping knowledge. Look at that.
Yeah, look, always, okay. Always.
Okay. Oh, I mean, you want to take us into...
Yeah, would you want to talk Spider-Man right now, Matt? Or not really? Not
Let's
at all.
Let's do it. Y'all going to have to tell me about this. So the way I take a lot of these movies is that, like Spider-Man, I don't watch any of the trailers. I go into these movies completely blind.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I'm so used to getting my expectations up, and Marvel specifically, any superhero movie specifically, they're really good at getting your expectations up in trailers.
They are.
So I mean, you can't get away from like memes and stuff on Twitter, though. I'm always on Twitter, so I see things. But I am looking forward to it. I do want to cry.
Well, they dropped a trailer this past week, and it was pretty hefty. We saw a lot. I don't want to spoil it for you. We could literally pass through this. We do not have to
talk about it. We can talk about it. As long as I get Toby in the movie, I'm good.
There's no say. I thought he was in it, but Mondo redirected it, and he was just like, I think that's Tom Holland in that black suit, not
Toby.
Yeah,
in the black suit they showed, but after watching that trailer, I'm almost positive that they're going to be in the movie. Okay. I kind of think they just laid it out there for us, but that's where my hopes are with the movie. Cause I think this movie has a lot of potential. Like, it has, I don't know, people say Endgame potential, but I don't know. Endgame was like a culmination of like 10 years worth of stuff.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be really important, especially in what it sets up for the future. Like, this is going to directly lay the groundwork for, you know, Multiverse of Madness and stuff, which is cool. But yeah, that's what my hope is too, man. Toby, because here's my thing. This is so great, because if they really are in this movie, this is an opportunity to make Toby canon and to like really like give his Spider-Man a lot of shine, you know. And like, I don't like how he went out with like Spider-Man 3. Yeah. So this gives him another chance to go out, you know, and go out, be canon. And, you know, I think that kind of like, even more so, especially because Marvel is then acknowledging it. This is the original Spider-Man, you know, and his first two movies were amazing. Spider-Man 2 is all time. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with the movies. That's where I'm at with the trailer. It was awesome. And all those villains look so good, man. So good. They get me.
Yeah, for those who don't know and who are listening, Matt, as Greg said, recently watched all of the Marvel movies within the past year. And how I just want to know how that journey was for you. Like, were you...
Chronological order, right?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'll just say this off rip. Thor Ragnarok's the most overrated movie I've ever seen.
Yo.
Absolutely terrible.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh,
so
my
way,
goodness.
The way it works is there were a lot of movies involved last year. I watched all the Harry Potter movies to start with. And these, wow. I watched them in Discord. So I was watching them with people that have obviously seen them a billion times. So I watched the movies and then I actually give them a breakdown, a rating. So I give my pros and cons of every single movie and then I give them a score out of 10. I did that for Harry Potter. Then I did that for Star Wars because I had never seen any of the Star Wars movies either. I sheltered life. Never saw Harry Potter, never
did
saw
you,
Star
did
Wars.
Did you watch it then, 4 to 6 and then 1 to 3? Hmm? Or did you watch it?
We watched everything in order of release.
Okay, in order of release. Cool, cool.
Right, because I was worried specifically with like Star Wars going backwards technology-wise, just visual appearance and everything-wise would mess things up too. And then the big one was obviously tackling the MCU. And I'll say watching one movie every week. So we would do it on a weekend usually. And then I rated every single movie as well. My favorite movies were Guardians of the Galaxies, 1 and 2. I liked both of them so much. And then Endgame. My least favorite person, easily, the most selfish person in the entire MCU, absolutely terrible human, Captain America.
I love Matt so much.
Yeah, you're not
absolutely selfish.
This is awesome. This is awesome. You can come back whenever you want.
Okay, yeah, whatever you
want.
Back
whenever you want.
Whenever you
he
want.
He also has the.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I don't want to say he has the worst movies, but
he's so boring.
I mean, Civil War is probably the best.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like that's how you know his movie sucked because like they did a solo
Everybody
movie
had to be in it.
And it sucked. And then they're like, all right, we're never doing another Captain America solo movie. Like, all of his other movies were like, oh, we got to spin it off, Civil War, Captain America, and the Winter Soldier. And the Winter Soldier was, like, the best part of that movie.
Yeah, I loved Winter Soldier. Yeah. I liked the one Bucky was evil. I was sad when he wasn't. He was such a badass.
Yeah.
I felt like there were a lot of movies where I had a bunch of people in Discord hyping them up. And they did not turn out well, of which Thor Ragnarok was by far. I think I gave that movie like a 2 out of 10.
I think it tried too hard to be what Guardians was, and it
that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. And it just became comical to the point of like, this is cringe. Like, I'm not even laughing anymore.
Exactly. Except for Jeff Goldblum. He was actually really funny. I think he was the only good part of that movie. Jeff Goldblum.
And I hate what they did to Hulk. I hate much of a lame Hulk became. And then it just continued. It was so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think Thor 2 was so bad that it was just like, what? This is not that bad. This is pretty good.
I have people telling me Thor, the Ragnarok was like the best movie in the MCU after Endgame. And I'm just like, man, I don't get
that's it. Crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. But I did hear a lot of this is a really good movie talk. So that's for sure.
I'll say super, super, super Iron Man fan though. Okay. Robert Downey Jr. was just insane. Like it makes no sense. They can't have Iron Man ever again. It was just too good. It wouldn't make sense.
He played that part to a T.
It was insane.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Matt's always welcome here.
What are your thoughts on?
I hate Captain America.
What are your thoughts on the trailer, Alyssa?
Mine
or just the movie in general, like
Spider-Man or just
yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm terrified because I hate. So you've seen the Andrew Garfield iterations of Spider-Man? Mm. When Gwen Stacy's falling, I don't like it. Right. It was a very traumatic experience at that point too. I was going to walk out and Zendaya's falling the same way. So I'm nervous, but I'm excited because it looks insane and amazing.
Yeah.
Probably second best Spider-Man movie to ever exist.
After but Spider-Man 2?
Yes.
I was going to say.
Okay.
So just Spider-Verse is just out of the window? That movie doesn't exist?
Wasn't really. I felt like.
Or are we talking live action? I could take that.
I was gonna say yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse, I felt like it was good, but I also felt like it was a movie where it was very overhyped to me. Like, people were like, oh, it's the best Spider-Man movie ever to ever exist and all this other stuff. And so I had this, like, very high expectation, like Matt usually does if he watches a trailer. And then I was just like, that's it? Like, that.
Yeah.
Eh. So, but outside of that, I thought it was good. It's just not.
I'll say I do like Tom Holland a lot, though.
Yeah.
Especially in the, like, the Avengers movies that he was into. I thought he was so good.
Yeah.
He plays Peter really well.
He plays that spunkiness of Peter really well. The jokes, the cracking jokes and stuff like that.
While still being like a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah.
Seems like him in real life.
But I am very much, I'm on the same wavelength of, I'm hoping for a Toby kind of like redemption arc. I want that. Even if it's something just small. Like, he just helps a little bit in like a meaningful, small way.
Yeah.
Just to go out a little bit better than
that cry at the end. Yeah.
Embarrassing. Look at my guy Derek. Embarrassing. It is what it is, you know? All right. I guess we can move on to Xbox turning 20.
Well, I think we got to, I'd say we got to wait though. Cause
what's up?
I spit out like a million hot takes right there. I feel like I need an MCU hot take from each of y'all. Like, just one.
MCU hot take?
Yeah, I went in. Captain America's done for.
So do you want to know, like, our favorite MCU movies and the ones that we hated the most?
Yeah, I want something just, like, fire.
All right, like, so my favorite MCU movie of all time is now Shang-Chi.
I haven't seen it yet.
Second Spider-Man movie is definitely a close second. But Shang-Chi, what I loved about it is that it doesn't feel like a Marvel movie. It takes you out of it, and then it brings you back in, and you're like, right, this is a whole different thing.
Okay.
My least favorite that I've seen, because I haven't seen all of them. That's hard. Oof. I hate Captain America.
Yeah.
Can't stand him. Yeah. I don't know that I have a least... I didn't really like any of the Iron Man standalone movies for Iron Man. But I just
did you
like,
see the recent Black Widow movie?
Yeah, I thought that was okay.
That was all right.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was all right. But I don't really like the standalone Iron Man films. So I would have to.
What?
I didn't like any of them. The third one was
Iron Man. Just Iron Man and then Iron Man 2?
They were better than the third, but like I was just like, I guess, you know, I don't know.
What?
But I love Iron Man. I think he's great. I just,
wow,
I just,
this was such
I may
a
have
bad
to
read. This was such a bad idea.
I may have to rewatch them, but years ago I wasn't into it.
God.
I was like, I guess.
Damn.
And I love Loki. Loki is like my favorite villain so far.
I like Loki a lot. Yeah, Loki was good. I like the series too. I thought the series was good.
You think you know somebody. Then you find out they don't like Iron Man movies.
Then you find out they don't really like.
I need Doctor Strange to like take me back in time and knock me out before I ask that question.
That's another thing. She hasn't seen his movie.
You haven't seen.
That's one of the better ones.
Strange too.
Yeah,
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Yeah, all right. So I also hate Captain America. I think he has the worst movies outside of. But it's just because he only has one movie. The other movies aren't really his, in my opinion.
Right.
That's why he sucks too. And they know he sucks. They know he's boring and uninteresting. And he is pretty selfish. You're right, Matt. You know how they say that? He's pretty selfish.
Yeah. I mean, everything he does, it's like his own... Like, he had the whole thing where the majority of him was just about Peggy. And then after that, it was just about Peggy. And then after that, it was just about him. So selfish. And I can't think about anything else other than Alyssa saying that she hates Iron Man. Like, that's...
I don't hate Iron Man.
I can't believe that.
I love Iron Man. I just don't care for the movies. I'll say that.
I felt like Iron Man, and I will say, I'm prefacing this with, you know, I watched everything last year.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed how it felt like Iron Man held up. Because it's an older movie compared to, you know, like Endgame more recently. But I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
Mondo, I guess go ahead.
Yeah, no. So favorite movie is I think the Guardians movies are my favorite. I have the soundtrack on vinyl. Like the soundtrack is so good. I'm playing the video game right now. so good. I think it's so funny. I think that's an IP, like a property, that whenever they go to recreate it, it is always going to cost a lot of money, because you just can't make it without the music. Because that, like, you know, Peter's characters, you know, so revolved around that. And I think those, I think they have the best set of characters, like, and how and how they,
I love the personalities,
the dynamics between all of them is just perfect.
That was my main thing. I'll say for Guardians, I rated those two as like the highest movies, and then tied with Endgame. And then it was always about the dynamic, like the characters felt like they meshed well together. Mm-hmm. Everything was seamless, and that's part of the reason I didn't like a lot of the stuff with Avengers. I felt like every time Captain America was on the screen, he was not doing well acting wise with whoever he was talking to. It just didn't feel good, especially when he was with Black Widow. Like, every single one of those scenes was so hard to watch. The acting was bad, it was so stale, and it just felt like no one, unless Tony Stark was in the scene in the Avengers movies, everything else just felt so forced. Whereas Guardians was like, I could just watch that all day. Like, everybody was so good together as well, and that's what made it so awesome.
Yeah.
So I agree 100% with the dynamic.
Yeah, it's a dynamic of everybody, and I don't really have a hot take. You know, if I guess I could tell you the character I like the least is Captain Marvel. She's just so dull.
Oh yeah, she's another boring
so
dull, one.
So boring.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't have no crazy hot takes.
Captain Marvel let Tony Stark die.
Yeah.
Could have finished that off well before we even got to that point.
That's valid. That's valid.
It is her fault. Before we got to the Mr. Stark, I don't feel so well.
Oh my god, I've seen that so many times on Twitter. Like, it's spoiled if you're on social media and you're watching it 5 years later. It's spoiled, basically. But even then, I was like,
damn. Because then you went through the ride with them. Oh, no. You went through the ride with them and everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I see the meme.
He said, oh no. Here's where it hurts. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
You know, I think we're gonna get more Tony too, though, because I feel like,
really,
with that Spider-Man show that's coming, Spider-Man freshman year, it's like the origin story of Spider-Man show. And technically we didn't know anything about that, like, happening, and so technically we have to see Robert Downey Jr., like, meet him or find him or whatever. It might be small or whatever, but he's gonna have another voice acting role, I imagine, you know.
Did you watch the What If series?
The multiverse too, you know. Bring him back.
We should have just made this a Marvel episode. Why did we even
I actually liked What If a lot.
Yeah,
I did. Like, I liked how it was very, like, it seemed like everything was kind of like standalone, like episodes to start with, until they all mixed together. Like, after, spoilers, Ultron became just too powerful. But I thought it was amazing, and I loved Captain Peggy.
Which was your
she was so much better,
so good. And which was so your favorite episode, if you had to say?
I would probably say the one with Doctor Strange.
Cool.
Yeah.
That one was pretty
very dark. Very dark episode. But then I liked his kind of redemption arc in later episodes too, though. I thought that made it a lot more meaningful.
I liked how they talked about the absolute, what were you going to say?
You were having like those theories that maybe the Doctor Strange we experienced in What If was the Doctor Strange we get in the new Spider-Man movie, which I thought was
maybe
a cool idea.
Maybe. I feel like the new trailer has me like coming off of that one a little bit, but but signs up with him. Signs up with him. He's not acting himself.
And his boy's not there. He's with Shang-Chi right now. So he's acting a little.
Oh shit, I forgot what I was gonna say. I'm so sorry.
What If?
Oh, that episode with Doctor Strange. I liked how they talked about those absolute points, because I was watching something where people were talking about that Tony Stark's death is probably an absolute point, where it's unavoidable that he is to die. And it's kind of, there's been so many instances where he's almost died and they've like prevented it and stuff, and it kind of just got to a point where you couldn't. And Doctor Strange told him there's only one instance where we do all live, and it's the one where he dies. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Because I think they were saying that that's a concept that's like new to like the MCU. more so than it is comics. It's cool.
Interesting.
It is interesting. It's about it.
I still think he didn't need to die.
Yeah, you know.
Captain Marvel's fault. Blood's on Captain Marvel's 90s vintage hands.
90s vintage hands?
Yeah, that whole Captain movie.
If you got Captain in your name, I'm probably just over you.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
All right. Do you guys want to touch on anything else, Marvel? Hawkeye? Hawkeye's coming soon. I'm looking forward to
that. That's next week, yeah.
Is that next week?
I am a fan of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I do like Hawkeye. I like Family Guy Hawkeye. He's just normal with good accuracy.
Yeah.
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 I'm excited to see what he brings.
I just watched Black Widow, so I saw the tie-in for that with the show. I wonder how much the movie's going to influence the show. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
And even with that, like that end credit, like that goes back to Falcon and Winter Soldier, show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I wonder what she's trying to do. Like,
she's masterminding something.
Yeah, she's masterminding something. For sure.
Got something going on.
All right, cool. So the other day was the 20th anniversary of Xbox. I can't even believe that. Xbox is 20 years old, and Alyssa and I, maybe you were hanging out with us the other day, but Alyssa and I streamed the event. We were just in here chopping it up with everybody who showed up. The event was cool. What they showed, it was kind of just going through big moments in Xbox history, some big announcements that they had made. And what I thought was the best part, they kind of honed in on the community and made like a segment about people meeting their longtime Xbox Live friends in person after playing video games with them for 10 years and stuff like that. And then at the end of it all, after seeing some influencers and seeing some streamers and stuff like that, they dropped the Halo Infinite beta on us. Can't believe that rumor was true. Alyssa, since you watched it with us the other day, what was your favorite part? And when you get in an Xbox... stop.
My favorite part, honestly, it was just like hearing this different stories that people had to tell, because I've grown up as like a Nintendo fan, but mostly a PlayStation player. And the community aspect, it wasn't really there. Like, I think I've always had friends that played Pokemon, so it didn't matter. But for PlayStation, it felt very, it's always been a singular thing. Even to today, like, I don't feel the connection that a lot of Xbox players do with like their community.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, for me, it was just like it was nice, and it felt really heartwarming. I'm not a Halo girl at all. I'm still trying to get good with Apex, so there's that. But I just enjoyed hearing not only like people who were in, like on the stream, but like people in the chat, like hearing their stories about how they made friends and they went to LAN parties and all these cool things. I just thought it was like cool to see that stuff.
Yeah. Matt, did you get a chance to watch it or hear anything about it?
Yeah, I agree. It reminded me, I don't know if you guys watch BlizzCon stuff, so Blizzard, they've had segments where they talk about how people met their wife through World of Warcraft, or the stories about the long-term friends on, you know, in some guild that met in real life for the first time at BlizzCon, and it had a lot of those memories. And I always love hearing stories like that, because you know, with gaming, you do get close to people. You meet a lot of people through it. And I do agree with Alyssa, where Xbox Live really set things apart, where it became, and that's why I was involved with Xbox for so much and playing Halo and COD, because that's where everybody else was playing. That's where you could talk to people when you are playing. You do make the friends. So I agree, that was the huge leg up of why I liked Xbox back in the day, for stories like that, where you can meet people and get to know them, because Xbox Live was just such a difference maker and PlayStation was not there at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I love stories like that. So that's always a highlight for me.
Yeah. That was it for me too. I almost teared up in that moment. I was like, damn. I was like, they really,
I feel like we can all relate to it though. Even if it's not to the extreme of like you go and meet them in person or something, there's still people you've known for years that is like, oh man, remember when you used to play Halo 2?
Yeah.
And then you're still playing, like you're playing Apex with them present day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love stories like that. It's so cool.
Yeah. No, it's definitely wholesome vibes. I feel like I'm seeing it more often, you know, today, obviously with social media and stuff, we all got cameras and whatnot.
Yeah.
But seeing a lot of like groomsmen and you know, yeah, stuff like that. I love that shit. That shit is awesome.
Yeah.
It was the one thing I
think it's because like our age group really mm-hmm, grew up with it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting into that older adult stuff. We're getting mm-hmm, into the kids, we're getting into the marriage and stuff. And so we're like, your gamer friends are now a part of these major life events. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And to your point, Matt, like PlayStation was lagging behind, and it was the one thing that I was like, yo, why can't they just add it with an update? I used to be like, yo, like, it's just software. Like, it boggled my mind why they waited an entire generation, because I felt they dropped the ball. And you know, a lot of people go back and tell me, yeah, but like the PlayStation outsold the Xbox. And I was like, yeah, that was like after the fact when they made it like $150 and like everybody was like, all right, let's just all go get PlayStations, why not? But like, yeah, Xbox was where it was at, and you know, you could talk when you were playing, but I felt like the biggest thing is even when you weren't playing, it was like, let me hop on. Yep. There's six people in the party chat. Let me jump in there. Let me just talk to them. Some people are playing this game. Some people party are chat, playing that game. And that's what it was. It was party chat. It was you and your friends all in like one room.
Yeah, it was like Discord. Yeah. People are just doing their own thing, and you're just kind of just there vibing. Like, you're not even playing a game.
It was Discord before Discord. It was
like
awesome.
I'd have my Xbox on talking to people, and my TV's not even on the Xbox. I'm like watching a show or something. It's just on.
Yep. Yeah.
It was dope.
Nah, it was dope, and you still feel that sense of community with Xbox, you know, like they've definitely grounded themselves in that, and yeah, they've always clung to that, and that's what I love about them, you know. That's why I want to see them do great. I want to see them all be great, because I feel like they each bring something to the game, you know. But yeah.
So what did you guys think of, because you both played a little bit of Halo, I'm assuming, what did you guys think so far, and since the game doesn't really come out until next month?
You can go, Matt. What you thought?
So I'll say that I used to love Halo. Like, I was really into Halo. I was the guy, you know, always on 3 a.m. Halo 2, Halo 3, Xbox Live, party chat and everything. But I feel like present day, Halo hasn't changed. But I have changed, like, my gaming, the way, what I like, and especially games like Apex. Like, I like the speed of Apex. I like a little more technical, the time to kill mm-hmm. of something like Apex, how long it takes to, you know, knock somebody in Apex. Whereas now I go back and play a game like Halo, it feels extremely slow to me. And I don't like it as much. So I feel like I've changed, whereas Halo hasn't, which isn't a bad thing either. It's just not for me anymore. Overall, I still felt it was really smooth as a game in general. I mean, the beta felt smooth when you could actually load in. I know I was having a lot of issues with that, but it feels like Halo, and if you like Halo, you'll probably love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nando?
No, I agree. It's Halo. It's more Halo.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
I didn't play Halo 5, so I don't know how polished that feels, but Infinite feels really polished. Like,
yeah.
I'm playing on PC, but so I imagine like on a Series X, it probably looks amazing. That's what I gathered away from it. I was like, oh wow, I wasn't expecting it to feel like this, because I was recently playing like Splitgate, and that's, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. from like a small dev team, and so it's great. It's a great game. It's not Halo or anything like that. I think it's fun. It ain't gonna take my time away. It ain't gonna take time away from Apex in my mind. But if somebody hits me up and they're like, "Yo, you want to get on Halo?" Yeah, I got time for Halo. I got time for Halo. Always.
Yeah, I got time.
I think what the thing is too, Halo's never gonna be where it was when like we were playing Halo 2. Like the cultural impact of like moments like that, like Fortnite will never be what Fortnite was in like season 3, season 4 of that, of like that first season. I guess season 2, they confused us, but that season 3 when Dusty Divot was still there, when the original map was more like the original map, Fortnite may never have that magic in the, on, you know, making headlines and stuff like that. And so I feel like we as gamers gotta stop chasing that idea that like this game is gonna be that. Like, there's 200,000 people playing Halo right now, and it might not be as impactful or as talked about as Halo 2 was in the time and Halo 3 was then, But it's still gonna do great. It's carving out its own space. I think that's more telling of us, how, like you said, Matt, like, we've changed. Like, we've grown up, and like, we found out things about ourselves, and we know what we like, we know what we enjoy, and we're not just gonna play something because everyone else is playing it now. There are enough of us where I can play the game I want to play, and there's enough people there, like a community big enough there for me to play and have consistency and grow and meet friends and new people and stuff.
I think that's the big way to look at it, to be honest. Because back in the day, it was like, if you had an Xbox, you had to play Halo, you had to play COD.
Had to play
Gears.
If you
wanted to play with other people, you literally had to play COD, Halo, Gears. That's it. Like, you had to play those games. And if you didn't, you probably weren't playing with people. But I also think a lot of games that we kind of grew up with are... they're in a stage where they aren't changing a ton, but a lot of their base is changing. And I think we see that even beyond just like Halo. Like, Halo's not changing. Mm-hmm. Whereas that's not necessarily a bad thing. It feels like a good game. It's got its community of people. It's just like World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft was once the standard for MMOs. It ran things, and then it kind of tailed off a bit, and other games took over at that point. Now there are other shooters beyond COD and Halo, whereas they were once the standard, they're just not anymore. And I think there's a lot of people that went with the new stuff. And like you said, it's very easy to get involved with new stuff now. It is. It's so accessible. And, you know, especially with, if you're involved with PC gaming, you can try out a new game every single day and never play, you know, the same game twice for years.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it wasn't like that. Whereas Halo's still the same game. We don't have to rely on playing the same game anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think that's even... Well, I think of it as like... because there's other, like you're saying, other games, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just Halo. But I wonder if that like applies to games like Pokemon, because I feel like we weren't really pressed about like how it felt... like a formula that we were used to. And then they just started throwing in stuff like make the game more fun for us, I guess, or like old players and new players, if they care about the younger kids. But I wonder if like Pokemon will ever feel the same type of pressure. Obviously Arceus is like a new game that's so different because it's open world. It's not necessarily like the same thing that we're used to, like with Diamond and Pearl coming out
tomorrow. People could hate that, though. Like, yeah, I was wondering if people could hate it, because I mean, you look at something like a Pokemon Snap was completely different, and now, you know, bringing it back, it just didn't have that nostalgia feel that people thought it was going to have. Like, everybody was so hype, and then you play it for 2 hours, and you're like, eh, I'm good. This was a lot better on Nintendo 64. I've always thought about, like, how did Pokemon Company, Nintendo, they just got that secret formula where Pokemon just works. And no matter what they do, just the Pokemon name, I mean, they're selling freaking Oreos. And people are lining up outside of Targets for Oreos just because it's got a Pokemon on it. So I don't know if Pokemon's like the one thing where in kind of like the gaming entertainment space where it's just too big to fail almost.
It is the largest intellectual property. I think above Star Wars, above Winnie the Pooh, above
Mario,
above everything. Number one.
Oh, wow.
It's just it. But I think what Pokemon has that a lot of these other games don't have is like the Halos and the popular games back then. They built a fan base that grew up, and a lot of the newer kids that are getting into gaming, they like the stuff like Fortnite. They're not getting into Halo, whereas Pokemon, you have the nostalgia factor that carries with people as they grow up, but it's also very inviting to new kids as well that then grow up with it. So it's like a constant revolving cycle of where you just got kids that fall in love with Pokemon until they're adults, and then they have kids that fall in love with Pokemon until they're adults, and it's just, they got the magic, man.
They do. They about to get us today or later today.
And they were hitting on the anime front, making the movies, trading card games.
I'm wearing a Pokemon shirt right now.
They're number one. In case anybody was ever confused, they're at the top.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Anything else on that top on Xbox?
No, I think I'm good on Xbox. You good on Xbox?
I'm good on Xbox.
Cool. So I don't know if you know this, Matt, because you say you don't really keep up, but Saints Row was coming back. They were going to do a full reboot for it, but they delayed it. It was supposed to come out in February, but now it's coming out August 23rd of 2022. This is not probably a surprise to a lot of people, but I feel like there's a lot of pressure in February. So just to give you an idea, Elden Ring is coming out in February. Horizon Forbidden West, Sifu, and some other stuff that I really can't remember off the top of my head. So as someone who doesn't regularly maybe know about like the newest games coming out, do you feel or have you ever felt pressure based on how many games have come out in 1 month?
No. I'll say it takes a lot for a game to get my attention and make me want to play it. I'll say Elden Ring is one of those games where it's just like you cannot escape the hype. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably play it based off of that. But I've never felt the pressure of just trying games because they are new. I will say it's smart of games to delay for whatever reasons, if there's a lot of hype around other games, because, you know, Saints Row is not going to compete with Elden Ring. So delaying's probably as smart for them. Yeah. It's just reality. But in terms of like playing all the new games, I'm so just siloed into two or three games at a time that if I get to it, I get to it.
We're trying to get you, honestly.
I wish, Matt.
Yeah.
I wish.
Me and Mondo, we try to do one new game a month.
Okay.
Well, buying one new game, you know, like adding a new game to like the library. Not necessarily. I guess if you're gonna buy it, you might as well play it, right? Like that's how I always feel. I'm like, damn,
right.
I put a little bit of time.
I made myself kind of be a bit more like that. So on my streams, I do a first time Friday is what I was doing, where I played a new game every single Friday. But these aren't like AAA title games.
Shorter
stuff to try and beat. But even then, it's like I'll try a game and I'm just like, this isn't for me. Never play it again.
I gotta stop. Like I added a new game. I started and beat the Artful Escape yesterday. Short game. It's like a music story game. Really, really good. Oh my god, so good. It was so good. If you got Game Pass, you need to try it. Artful Escape, and I remember telling Alyssa, I was like, damn, I just beat this game. I was like, do I gotta now start another game because I beat this game? So technically, I gotta add one again. Revolving door, one in, one out. One comes back in. So yeah, I'm juggling like five, six games. I'm terrible at that.
The majority of games I play aren't like you can beat the game. So I don't really play a lot of you can beat the game type stuff. It's like the Apex, it's like the Hearthstone, it's like the competitive stuff. But I do get the bug sometimes with challenging games. Mm-hmm. So like Jump King or like Cuphead. If I start it, I want to beat the game.
And Cuphead is hard.
Cuphead was pretty rough.
Yeah.
I have yet to beat it. I got it for $15, but I was just like, that's it.
I actually remember tuning in when Matt was playing it. Matt looked stressed.
It was rough at times.
Yeah, there's a lot going on that screen, man. Like, it's insane.
Let the record really show that game. I still beat it though.
Yeah, see, there you go. Champ.
Let the record show.
Let the record show.
He's coming
2 hours under the average completion time.
Ooh,
not to brag. You know, whatever. It's whatever.
You can brag. I can't even finish the first level of the game.
That's funny.
Jeez.
That's hilarious.
Mondo, how did you feel about the delay of Saints Row?
Really happy for them. Really happy for them. I think that's good for them. I think it's going to work out in their best interest, because February is Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, Destiny has a DLC drop in that month. That martial arts PlayStation game, PlayStation Shifu, that comes out that month. There's just a lot of stuff going on that month. They don't need to be in there. They're remaking something like.
So it is just a complete remake. It's like
it's not like the next number in it.
It's a reboot.
Yeah. The original. So
the OG.
So I didn't.
Ain't nobody trying to fill that nostalgia with all that other new stuff coming out.
Ain't nobody got time for nostalgia.
I'm February game free. It was my game for February, and now I have nothing to play in February.
Horizon
so
Forbidden West. What do you mean?
I don't think I'm gonna jump into that right away.
Wow.
No. Unless they give it to me for free. Hey.
Hey, Sony.
Here's a review copy. But, no. Yeah. I'm not really, like, jumping into that.
Yeah, but no. It's good for them, though, you know? And
yeah, for sure.
Who's in a rush? You got so many games to play, you know?
I know. We got every month something.
Literally. Yeah. What's this?
So what are y'all looking forward to as far as like new before the end of the year type game that's coming out? Not Pokemon tomorrow.
Yeah, not Pokemon tomorrow. Damn it. Besides the Halo campaign next month, I know one of Lilith's answers too. I was telling her yesterday, I think I'm gonna buy Death's Door when it comes out next week on PlayStation.
Death's Door?
Yeah. I think I'm gonna get that.
Okay. Nice.
That's my end of year, and then I'm gonna just get through the backlog. That and the Apex grind.
Yeah.
Mine is definitely maybe Death's Door, and then Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach is something I'm really excited for.
How you gonna make that face? I knew that. How you gonna make that face? Yes. I knew that.
Yeah. I'm excited. I've never played.
Are you big into like jump scare type games? And
oh, I love horror games. I've seen sometimes when you play Dead by Daylight, and I'm just like, I didn't know he dabbled in Dead by Daylight. Oh,
I play every month. My $750 goal is to play a scary game. So I've played like 16 different horror games. Hate them all.
Yes. Oh, come on, they're so good.
Have you played Blair Witch?
No, but that's because that movie actually scared me, and I'm sure the game is gonna freak me out too.
So I've played like 17 horror games and beaten them, and Blair's Witch is one where I was like, kind of messed me up a little bit. I was like, man, they start whispering in your ear and stuff, and I'm like, God, am I actually a bad person? Like, what's happening right now? Kind of stuck with me a little bit. I needed a breather after this stream.
Have you played Outlast?
Mm-hmm.
Both?
Yeah.
Ugh, love it. It's scary. That's actually, to me, the scariest game. The second one, really. I got used to the first one, but Outlast, scariest franchise.
I'll say that's one of the things that gets me, is when it starts to become predictable, then yeah. I'm no longer kind of like immersed. Yeah. Or like if like some of the scary stuff is like on a loop or something, mm-hmm. and you're not so much scared anymore, it really takes the immersion out of it. That's what gets me. But Blair's Witch Project was...
I gotta try that one. I play Blair's. I gotta try it. They're whispering in your ear. Aren't you gonna play Phasmo today?
Yeah, I'm gonna play Phasmo. They had a big update, so I'm pretty excited for that. Yeah.
I've never played Phasmo, but it's because I don't have a PC.
Phasmo's fun too. They've done a lot. Such a small dev team, but it's so good. It originally started with just one guy.
Oh, wow.
It just blew up. So, yeah, I'm excited. Mondo horror games?
No, yeah, I got nothing to say. I got nothing to say on that subject. Nothing at all.
He can't even beat a Resident Evil
DVD
game. No,
I haven't played DVD. I haven't even given it a shot.
He's not.
And it, that maybe as a killer, but not as a survivor.
Not a survivor.
I like killer. Oh my god, that anxiety, like
killer's
just creeping up on me. No, kill me. But yeah,
one of my best times was playing Killer. When I first started playing DVD and I got really into it and wanted to get like the rank one on Killer, that was some of the most fun I've had playing games.
Yeah, it's fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, no.
I don't
like Survivor though.
Toxic community.
Yeah. Super toxic community.
Yeah.
Super toxic but, community.
Yeah, y'all enjoy those horror games. You know, I'll be watching.
I still don't like them. I mean, I play a lot, but it's for like charity, but I don't like them.
Yeah, there you go. See,
I'm not gonna say I enjoy it, like, I'm just sitting at home wanting to be scared. I will never understand that.
Yeah, never.
That's me.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to go back to the dot. But yeah, if that's all on the Saints Row tip, mm-hmm. You can talk about some games that did come out this year and didn't get delayed. And are getting some awards because they've been nominated at the Game Awards. Tuesday, they announced the nominees for the Game Awards coming on December 9th. And I'm just going to run through a few of them. We don't got to go through all of them because it's a bunch of categories.
There's like 30
categories. Yeah, 30 categories. But I definitely want to go through Game of the Year, which is Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread.
Oh, wow.
Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village. Talking about horror games. let's sit on that one really quick. Of those, which is the game did you play them all? I don't know which ones you played, Matt, but what is your opinion on Game of the Year out of those I named?
I don't think it will be Game of the Year, but I thought It Takes Two was so well done. I loved it. I played it with my friend Robert on stream, and I thought it was so good, so seamless. Everything worked well in the game. Easy to buy into the characters and get involved with the story and kind of get that emotional connection too. I thought it was such a good game. I know there was a ton of hype for Resident Evil, but I don't think it's like Game of the Year hype, to be honest with you. I think
no, me either.
It was just loving the Mommy Milkers storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serious.
Yeah, agreed.
I haven't played the other ones though. I know there was a lot of hype for Ratchet and Clank, but I haven't played it myself, and I can't imagine it's like that much different from the old ones that I played.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
If I had to be the sole voter and give the award away, it would be the It Takes Two. I thought it was a phenomenal game.
Yeah,
I would have to agree with Matt on the whole Resident Evil thing. I've burned through the whole franchise prior to launch. I mean, I have played the majority of them. It's just I did it on stream as well. And then I played 8 or Village, and I felt like it was a good game. Yeah, but I think when you get past the main event and the main people that people were obsessed with, it just felt kind of all over the place as to like the elements that they put into the game, but it was still fun. Not Game of the Year worthy for me, but I would have to say it's a tie between It Takes Two and Deathloop. Who else did you say?
What other games did It Takes you say? Two, Psychonauts. Deathloop, Psychonauts 2, Metroid Dread, and...
Okay, yeah. Maybe Psychonauts.
I see Metroid Dread up there.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. Because it kind of just came out. But Psychonauts 2, It Takes Two, and Deathloop, I think those would be the three that would probably get it. Only because I played it, I will say Deathloop will take it, because I was surprised as to like how much I actually did play the game and was like thoroughly involved with it, and how the story unfolds is really cool.
How
about you?
I'm right there with you, Matt. It Takes Two, I didn't beat it because me and my fiance are still grinding through it. She's not much of a gamer, so it's funny, we were talking about it last night. She's like, oh, we gotta go back to playing It Takes Two, and she's like, But you gotta stop yelling at me. And I'm like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to help you, try to guide you, tell you to press the button. That's all. But
man, backseat gaming.
Yeah. Matt, she'll get to a point that she's like, here, get me across the thing. But there are moments where we can't do that, where like we both have to be doing something at the same time,
for sure, cooperate in unison.
And like you said, it's so well done. It's so intuitive in the way it builds that cooperative play. The characters are fun, and it is a nice wholesome story to buy into.
I was shocked by the mechanics. Like it was just so smooth. Everything was good and so unique.
Yeah,
it was so many unique elements each level
introduced something different. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like oh, I got a power and I'm using this same thing throughout the whole game. It was like, no, we're gonna thrust you into another situation where you have to do entirely different things, but those things will carry you through that level, and then through the next level it's another set of mechanics. And it's so good how it goes from being introduced to that mechanic, using that to get around that world, and then ultimately to the boss battle, and how those go into play there. Masterful. Absolutely masterful. I have to continue playing through Psychonauts 2, and I beat Ratchet and Clank, but like, don't get me wrong, PlayStation was like, oh yeah, super fast SSD with that, like going through the things. That shit was super regular. There was nothing crazy about that. It loaded really fast, and that was awesome. Don't get me wrong, but that was about
our game of the year qualification. Yeah, I don't know if that loads really fast.
Yeah, I don't know if that's it though. Yeah.
If one of your bullet points is the game loads really fast,
then you got it.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, and though I think it looked amazing, like at that time it was the best game like I'd played visually. But I think, I don't know, that Forza looks really good. But yeah, I think it takes two over what else I've played so far. And I think Forza got snubbed, yo. I'm not gonna lie to you. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like Alyssa actually talked me off at the clip because I woke up and I saw Resident Evil 8. Okay, I get it. Because I was trying to list off games. Somebody said Returnal. You know what? Since we're here, you want a hot take? I'm a little upset Forza got snubbed, but you know what I'm happy about? I'm happy Returnal's not on this list. Is it? Oh, I'm actually happy they didn't get the nom. Not that I don't care. I don't think they deserve the nom. Like, there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, Returnal was their game of the year. Fuck that. That game didn't have a save feature. You don't get to be a game of the year without a save feature. Because yeah, like when I think back to it, I had a great time playing that game. I beat it in minimal deaths. You were talking about you beat Cuphead with like below 2 hours. I beat that game in 14 deaths. I was looking at all these pictures. People are like 40 deaths in, 50 deaths in. I'm a gamer, all right? I'm a gamer. We're going to beat this game. But the thing I hated about it was that was the only game I could play at that moment. If I was on a run, I couldn't play another game. Yeah, yeah. I'd lost a 3-hour run because the game updated overnight. And I woke up, opened it up, my run's gone. And I just think that the whole thinking that adding a save to your game was going to, I guess, mess up this creative direction that you had for the game. I think you messed up my gaming experience overall so much that it like trumped that. And yeah, I'm sorry. You don't get the game of the year nod.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, really enjoyed that game. Yeah. And they updated it recently. And you know what I said? Wow. I can finally go back and play that game again. Because once I beat it, I was like, I'm not playing this game anymore because it's too much of a headache. Like I'm gonna start playing, I'm going to start a good run, and then I'm going to be like, damn, I kind of want to play Horizon, or I kind of want to play anything else on my PlayStation. I can't, because I'm beholden to this game. And you know what? I'm glad the voters understood. Get the fuck out of here with that.
Put a save. Shout out to Danny.
Nah, but I just wanted to say that, because I was so happy that they didn't get the nod. Good God.
Price.
Let's see. What's another one? Because I just beat this game. Best score or music, and they have Cyberpunk 2077, Deathloop, Near Replicant version 1.22474487139, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and The Artful Escape, which I just finished. And
so wait, is Guardians of the Galaxy using Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack?
It is Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's cheating then.
It's
cheating.
I'm saying it's copyrighted music.
Because we were just talking about it. So I wanted to bring that up. That's up for best music and score. And yeah, like you said, man, that's a tough competition right there. Take On Me came on the other day while I was streaming it. I was like, nah, man, they got it. Like, this is one of the best soundtracks of all time. Best indie game, they have 12 Minutes, Death's Door, Kena Bridge of Spirits, Inscription, and Loop Hero. Alyssa, what do you think? You think Kena's going to take it?
What's in there? Death's Door. I think it'll be head-to-head with Kena and Death's Door. 12 Minutes is the weirdest game I've ever seen in my life. I thought it was gonna be so good, and the sick and twistedness behind that game is just very questionable. I was shocked. Oh my gosh.
So I'm overboard.
I was like, okay, we can do without the siblings being together, the incest, to be frank. But it is a fun watch, and it is an interesting game outside of that storyline. But I'd have to go with, personally, Kena, just because that game blew my expectations. It's a small company owned by two Black people, and I was just enamored. The only game I've ever platinumed, by the way. So
ooh, you platinumed that. It?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's what's up.
The only game.
What about you, Matt? Did you get to play Kena or any other games?
I didn't get to play it. I saw it. It looked great. I will say I did play Death's Door, and I thought Death's Door was great, too.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. I played. It's one of the only games I played that's just based off of the hype, and I thought it lived up to it. It's a cute little murder crow.
Yeah.
And a lot of another game with a lot of great mechanics that build upon each other, and then you have to figure out how to use them in new areas, but also go back to previous areas to use your new mechanics. So I thought it was a really, really well done game. So I'd probably give the nod to that, but only because I haven't played Kena personally.
Yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a cool concept and everything, but then it got to the point where the ending just threw me off so much that I was like, oh, what happened here?
It makes you feel dirt. Like, you're like,
it was
wow,
just so over the top. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Mondo?
I mean, I've played Kena. Kena was amazing. I'm going to get Death's Door. So
yeah,
I want to play that because it reminds me of old Zelda, you know, like in the mechanics and that dungeon crawly puzzle. Does it have puzzles? I'm assuming there's puzzles and stuff. Yeah, I can't wait. Love me a good puzzle. So yeah, I got to give it to Kena because that's the one I played. But interested to see how Death's Door stacks up because I do think it's going to be between those two. And those two are actually up for also like a best debut indie game. Actually, sorry, Kena is an Artful Escape, not Death's Door. What was the other one I wanted to talk about? I guess best family game, which is It Takes Two, Mario Party Superstars, which is apparently a really good Mario Party game.
Yeah,
I actually like it. Yeah. I played
it's
it.
Pretty good.
The new Pokemon.
It's definitely
Snap.
Going off the nostalgia factor. So if you like the old
The Nintendo
games,
64
like
ones.
Nintendo 64, GameCube ones, you can literally set modes where you only play mini games from what system you want to play them from too. So it's
awesome.
It's really nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very smooth.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I know Matt's not voting for the new Pokemon Snap. Super Mario 3D
Neither
World.
Am I, Matt, don't worry.
Great 33 minutes.
So I think it's all right. You like the Mario Party Superstars? Do you think that takes it over It Takes Two, or are you giving it to It Takes Two?
Mm-mm.
No, I think It Takes Two by a long shot. Because I mean, the reality is Mario Party is, you know, there's a million Mario Party games, whereas It Takes Two is its own thing, and it was so revolutionary in so many ways.
Yeah,
I thought it was great, like one of the best co-op games ever.
Yeah, ever.
For a while, it was the only game that I would see on Twitch that like for people that I follow. It was the only game that I saw was It Takes Two, so I know it had some sort of impact.
Yeah, the only thing I see potentially hurting it is that it is only co-op for like game of the year type stuff.
Yeah,
is that you can't play it alone, so maybe that hurts it, but I thought it was so well done.
Yeah,
can't see it losing to Mario Party.
Yeah, 100%.
Hopefully.
100%. No, not that one, not that category at least. And last one I want to touch on, just because I guess this one's is a new category and it's interesting. Most anticipated game.
I knew it.
It's just
most
so
anticipated.
It's so interesting.
Like, hasn't came out
hasn't
yet.
Hasn't come out yet, but they're going to give an award to it because people are hyped to it.
Anticipated. Elden Ring?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, because I guess it doesn't have an official name. That's interesting.
Nope.
Didn't know that. And Starfield. Which game are you looking forward to the most, Matt?
I'm trying to get a PlayStation 5 so I can play God of War.
Yeah.
You say the word. We
I platinum God of War on PS4.
No, Half-Life 3.
Yeah. I was all into it. I loved it so much. Also, the word.
Yeah, that was a great game. What about you, Alyssa?
I went with Zelda.
Zelda?
I voted, for Zelda.
You already did it. Like, you did the thing and you voted.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I voted for Zelda. Mm-hmm. I had to be the one person that was going to vote
for
Zelda.
You're the one person? I think a lot of people are going to vote for that.
I think the list is
I think so too.
I think the list is so expansive, though. So I feel like there's so many people who could, it could literally go either way. Silly category, but I definitely chose Zelda because I don't play the rest like that, so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Zelda the most, but I'm interested in Starfield. And I'm interested because I was listening to a podcast the other day and somebody said something intriguing, which was God of War, Horizon, and Zelda have to live up to their predecessors. In the sense of oftentimes what makes these games like stand out and so great is that they were vastly different. Like God of War was way different than the old God of War games. And that was amazing. That was awesome. The way the camera worked and just seeing God of War in that kind of narrative style was great. Horizon was very different in its mechanics and its storyline. And I think it has a great story, like how all that stuff comes together. One of the best stories. Breath of the Wild. It's still like everybody sees an open world game and they're like, oh man, reminds me of Breath of the Wild. Because apparently every game has to be Breath of the Wild. Where Starfield, and it's going to be hard to live up to that because they're gonna be more of the same in their next iterations. They're going to tweak a few things, but they will sort of more or less be the games we know. Where Starfield is going to be something brand new, brand spanking new. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm wondering how that kind of like, how people end up feeling about that. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I thought that was something interesting to be said about
this. I think
that's
a good point. I feel like that's something I've thought of for God of War because the bar is so high based off the game that it's following being just a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So good, so beloved. And now you have to live up to the expectations that you've set. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that either. Just because like I always expect for it to be good. Because it's just like
especially
the titles,
like Zelda.
The titles themselves. Yeah. So like, I'm just like, of course it's going to be great. I have no worry about that. But what you just said is actually pretty.
Well,
valid.
Yeah, it's not so much about it being. We know they're going to be great, but we're not going to feel that magic of like when I hit that glider in Zelda, and I was like, this is what this game is. Like, no fucking way, no way.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that moment. And I don't.
Yeah.
Will we get that moment in Breath of the Wild too, you know, to make us feel that intensely about that game. So that's not, I thought it was interesting.
I'm intrigued to see what Starfield's about. I feel like it's one thing that people are assuming and then it's going to be something totally different.
Yeah.
So kind of excited.
Yeah. The unknown is exciting. But yeah, that's the Game Awards. And there's 30 other categories that y'all can go on thegameawards.com and look at and vote on.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to do a quick hot takes and then we'll let Matt go because he's got a stream to get to, you know. But here are a few games you can pick up this week. As we said earlier, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl will be available on the Switch this week. You can currently play Halo Infinite, the multiplayer beta, on Xbox and PC. Far Cry 6 finally dropped their first DLC, the Insanity DLC, where you get to play as the main villain Voss in Far Cry 3. All platforms. Battlefield 2042 comes out this week. Naruto is finally in Fortnite. And that's it for the games this week. So far, obviously, if you want to figure out any other games that are coming out, you can go over to Game Informer and IGN to check it out. As of tomorrow, Cowboy Bebop, the live action, will be available on Netflix for anyone who's super excited for that.
Are you excited for that, Matt?
I'm excited for that.
I've heard really, I hate to be this person, I've heard
I know.
Not good things.
Yeah.
I'm so sad.
It's never good.
No.
Live action's never good. It's always, it's that hyped up thing that's just never good.
I'm so scared, but we're going to watch it and have a good time, hopefully. Ugh.
Oof.
This weekend is Anime NYC. It starts tomorrow. And we here at VGA have a booth. Which is so exciting. Yeah, and SB Brandon will be on a panel as well this weekend. So look out for that on our socials. You can check us out if you're in the city. Yeah. And then last but certainly not least, G4 TV launched this week. So shout out to Danny and Rihanna for the the whole relaunch of the network.
Oh, wow.
It's available on Twitch, YouTube, and I think on cable television as well.
Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna have a Twitch channel for G4.
Yeah, they do.
They're on right now.
Yes.
Attack of the Show.
Yeah, they are on right now, currently. So
Attack is back. It really is on right now.
Is it? There you go.
Those are some hot takes of this week.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Danny and Rihanna. They're doing amazing stuff.
They're
over
doing
there.
The damn
they got a
thing,
great
yeah.
team over there.
Yeah.
Matt, you got any last thoughts? Any lingering thoughts before we head out? Let people know where they can find you. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Where they can donate. I still got that copy pasted. So let me.
Matthew or Matt on Twitch
yes.
and everywhere else. I'm very active on Twitter and nowhere else social media wise. This month we are supporting Save the Children. They have a huge campaign going on where Gaming Tuesday is the name of it. They'll be announcing incentives. So this year it is sponsored by both Elgato and Noble Chair. So they are going to have tiers where if you reach a certain amount of donations, you'll be given a Stream Deck is what I got last year. As well as a gaming chair and other stuff from Elgato. And just like last year, if we hit those tiers, I'll give those items away. So we'll be looking forward to that. Other than that, Captain America is the most overrated thing in modern entertainment history.
Yes!
It's official. We're going to have Matt on for every Marvel
yes.
episode.
Yeah, gosh.
There's that.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
We gotta get you, Greg, on a panel for the Marvel talk.
Yes,
Greg's been dying.
Whoa, is Greg a super Captain America fan or something?
No, he's just a super Marvel head.
Oh, okay,
I don't know if he's a Captain America fan.
Okay,
but if he is, I'll love. I'll the discourse will be awesome.
Oh my god, I will not back down. Check out Captain America's new Twitch initiative, Selfish Streaming.
Selfish streaming.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, because he is very selfish.
Wow. I like that. Damn. He's not even here to defend himself.
He what? No, he is.
Bring
he
him
is.
On.
He
Bring
is.
Him on.
Bring him on.
He's here. I see him.
Bring Captain America on.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
No, but I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I'd love to come back
you.
At some point, by all means. And
yeah.
It was a good time.
Nah, this was fun. Thanks for joining. Yeah, we've been... It always feels like when we're thinking about having some money, like we've been talking about it forever. And it's always nice to just... Fuck it, just get it done. Like sometimes it's just about getting it done.
Yeah. Agreed.
And yeah, no. Thanks for taking the time out to join us today, because we would want to talk more about the selfish stream. Damn, you hear me?
Whoa.
Selfless. Whoa. Selfless streaming.
Sounds like we got a Captain America fan.
Oh god.
Whoa, undercover Captain America fan?
No.
Just trying to make your guests feel good, bashing Captain
right.
America. Secretly, you got the shield underneath you.
Nah, I would never. I do got a Captain America shirt, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oof.
It's old, though.
You hate
That's
to all right.
I like to waste money sometimes, too.
But yeah, I have no thoughts. I have no other thoughts. It's funny.
Neither do I. Get Pokemon tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Already.
Matt, we should.
I got it downloaded.
Wait, which one do you have?
I got Diamond.
And Diamond.
Me too. Dang it. I'm looking for more Pearl people.
It.
Just in case. You never know.
Ivan
Once
just
you
bought
kangaroo
both
your chat
of them
has
today.
Pearl.
Yeah.
You said Ivan has Pearl?
Ivan just bought both today.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
he did.
I think
he's going to be streaming tonight, right?
Well, to Ivan's credit, I think Walmart had, well, not I think, they definitely put the wrong price online, and they had both of them up for $70 earlier today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason I didn't buy them is because they weren't physicals. They were digitals. So I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Because you have to wait for the physical to come in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that and I want, you know, oh, it's physical game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He'll be playing tomorrow.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I won't. No, I told you I'm not jumping into Pokemon. I'm going to finish some games, Alyssa. I'm gonna finish games. Mm. Right? I'm getting Death's Door next week.
Yeah, so am I.
You know? Like no. I had Pokemon and I'm not beating any of the games that I'm trying to beat by the end of the year.
Pokemon is so easy, so smooth. What are you talking about?
No, it's a wormhole.
Come on, do it for Swaggy B.
I'm not doing it.
Do it for
He's
Swaggy
not in this
B.
game. He's not in this game.
Don't disrespect
I'll go back.
Him.
Do it
he
for
didn't...
yourself.
Do it for myself.
You deserve this.
Selfless.
No.
Or selfish.
You deserve
whatever.
This.
No.
Yeah.
Come on. Join us.
No. You know what? I'm going to say I am.
Go get that pearl.
I'm going to say I am. Go get that pearl. Now I'm definitely getting diamond.
I feel like everybody's.
Yeah, it's just diamonds that won. Like I, you know.
Yeah, that Pokemon is really cute.
Yeah, personally, I feel like it has the best legendary. Yeah, so that's how I choose the Pokemon.
Same.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. You want me to close it out, Alyssa?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, once again, shout out to Matt for joining us. Follow him on everything at Matthew or Matt. One word altogether. Follow him on Twitch. Donate to his chat. I'm gonna copy paste that again in the chat. And for all of those,
it'll be in our link.
For all of those who are listening on podcast services or YouTube, it'll be in the description as well. For this episode, we ain't even gonna put ours. We're just gonna put his.
No, we're gonna put his.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And so please,
much appreciated.
Please donate. And if you can't donate, share it with somebody who can. Because I know somebody's got that. Right, somebody's got it. But yeah, this was episode 52 of The Safe Point. Can't believe we're here. Once again, I'm one of your hosts, Mondo, aka Chancleta Mangu, joined as always by the lovely Alyssa Rosa. And on that note, I hope you have a great day, afternoon, evening, weekday, weekend, whenever it is you're listening to this, watching this. And on that note. One.
I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.